This Fan Run podcast is brought to you by DraftKings.
It's Christmas week, and DraftKings Sportsbook, an official sports betting partner of the NBA, has a gift that will certainly put you in the holiday spirit. New customers can bet just $5 on any NBA team and win $150 in free bets if they win. Download the DraftKings Sportsbook app now and use promo code FANRUN in all caps. Bet just $5 on any NBA team and win $150 in free bets if they win. That's promo code FANRUN in all caps this Christmas week at DraftKings Sportsbook, an official sports betting partner of the NBA. Must be 21 or older, Tennessee only, restrictions apply. See DraftKings.com/sportsbook for details. If you or someone you know has a gambling problem, wants help, call or text the Tennessee Red Line, 1-800-889-9789.
What a poorly officiated game. I'll give little Mikey White credit. He held it together better than I would have. They got hosed. I don't think they deserve to win. There were plenty of bad calls. Tennessee benefited from some. Had maybe one go against us in the first half. But anyway you shake it out, Volunteers excited to get the win tonight. My final of 78-71, a game that Tennessee actually trailed at the half by 8, 42-34. We're down by, I think, as many as 13 twice, came back, and then fell behind by 13 again, and was able to come out there and win the second half by 15 over the Gators. And what a night for Santi Vescovi. 23 points, 6 of 10 from three-point range for Bob. He also added 3 rebounds, 4 assists. Just an incredible game by a guy who is unquestionably Tennessee's best player. He did that in only 28 minutes. Sat, rode the pine a lot with 2 fouls in the first half. Kennedy Chandler, 17 points, 5 of 13 shooting. That's kind of the player he is. Doesn't shoot a very high percentage, but finds a way to make a bunch of points. Chandler had 5 assists as well. Josiah Jordan James, 9 points. Fulkerson, 9 points in only 18 minutes off the bench. Quality outing by him. Ziegler with 11 points and really kept Tennessee in it when it looked like Florida might try and run Tennessee out of the building there in the first half. A couple of big threes, banked one in. Crazy night for Ziegler with 6 rebounds for Zakai Ziegler, Tennessee's second leading rebounder on the night. And as we get Bear in here, you know, so much talk about Plavšić this week and his addition, and he comes out there, does not attempt a shot, records 1 rebound, although I feel like that's a bad stat. I feel like I saw him get several rebounds in the first half, but only plays for 9 minutes, and I'm wondering, you know, what's going on with Urosh. Tennessee goes small for a lot of the way, but is able to somehow bring this thing home and get the dub. I mean, 14-5 now, I believe, 5-3 in conference play. And Bear, always fun to beat little Mikey White and the Gators.
Yeah, I mean, he was doing his usual Mikey White. He stole a timeout at the end of the game. I like seeing him with his stomach acid on full-on churn. Can't stand him. And, you know, I hope DW gives his little brother a wedgie on the way out the door. Just pulls his tidy whities up over his head.
How about little Mikey White not breaking out the size medium dress shirt today, going with the untucked polo? What did you think about that look?
I mean, that's what all these guys are doing now.
Well, I haven't seen anybody not tuck their damn shirt in on the sideline. I mean, what is this guy, a homeless bum or something? We can't get a professional look. Does he know this game's on national television?
And Huggy Bear used to wear basically a muumuu.
He wears a sweater, a la he's carrying a couple of extra pounds, but he's just going the Bob Knight route in a sweater. I mean, Rick Barnes is going to the quarter zip. I don't know. I thought it was kind of a rough look myself. Okay, then. Florida. I'll give the Gators credit, man. Their third game in 5 days, everybody was way too confident about this. I had talked about this yesterday. I talked about it today. Everybody said, oh, we're going to beat the crap out of Florida. We're going to kill them, all this stuff. I don't like that attitude, man. I don't like that take, because I just think that for this league right now, there are no easy outs. Florida, without Castleton, is just as good, if not better, than Missouri. And you saw the number one team in the country, Auburn, go in there and almost get beat last night. So I think that there are no easy outs in this conference right now. Tennessee looked like a team that expected to win and didn't take it maybe as seriously as they should tonight. And I'm glad it didn't bite them. I'm glad they were able to get the job done. But there you go.
Yeah, definitely didn't want to be doing this on a loss.
Oh, it felt like that was a distinct possibility for most of the first half.
Yeah, my stomach was kind of hurting a little bit.
When did at what point did you feel pretty good about it?
Honestly, when we went up six, just because they're so challenged offensively. And then what's his name? Their center went out.
Yeah, Chitobo. He put it. Kamwa put his eye out.
Yeah, I mean, it wasn't intentional.
No.
And I've already seen Barstool Gay at Florida's, you know, made some kind of stupid, tried to compare it to what
the dude Kaven Fulke's face in last
yeah.
year.
Yeah. Yeah, Barstool. Okay. And then Barstool Rocky Top quickly pointed out to him that that was just dumb to even compare the two. One was intentional and one wasn't.
Well, and one, I mean, I hope the kid's eye is okay.
Yeah.
But yeah. I mean, not like, I don't think he's going to be cognitively impaired. I mean, Fulke was over there like watching the game with a hoodie and a pair of sunglasses on at the SEC
yeah.
tournament last year.
Like some kind of, you know, those poor women who get beaten up by deranged husbands. You know, he had giant sunglasses on. You could still see that he had a black eye.
Mike Leach would have sent him to the tool shed with Craig James as a kid.
Mike Leach.
Yes.
He's a real winner.
Mike Leach, taking a shot at the Pirate. He's a winner.
I'm going on record that I'm pretty anti-Pirate.
Yeah, you're just anti-fun. How worried were you when
I was worried J when I saw damn Pat Adams walk out on the floor.
Oh, God. Oh, man. But how about Triple J? God bless him. Ball goes off his leg. Mikey White, they give him like a sympathy timeout because they've screwed him over so badly. He draws up a play. They get a corner three to make it a three-point game with 30 seconds left. That was not great. Not great.
I really wasn't nervous at that point. I felt like they were, you know, Florida had already choked it away. They aren't just didn't think that they were going to be able to hit the shots. That's the most three-pointers I think they've hit all year.
Oh, the numbers were weird. I was looking at it at one point, and they were almost identical, like, in terms of field goals made and attempted for both teams. Tennessee ends up shooting 45.5%, Florida 43.3%. Ball's made 11 of 24 threes. I mean, it was a really good shooting night, I thought, for Tennessee. They shot 40, you know, round up to 46%, both from the field and from three-point range. 17 of 18 at the free throw line.
Yep. Missed the first one and then hit the next 17.
Shout out to Kennedy Chandler. He's struggled from the free throw line. He obviously worked on that. A perfect 6 of 6 from the free throw line. Bob, 6 of 6 as well. As Tennessee was clutch and able to close this thing out from the free throw line. But, yeah, I thought Florida, considering everything they had going against them with their best player being out, third game in 3 days, I mean, they gave it a run, man. That Appleby kid lit Tennessee up, especially in the first half. 16 points for him. DeRuji had 16 points. Let's see, Fleming had 11. But in the end, Tennessee wins it. First time scoring 70 at home in an SEC game. Several of y'all pointed out to me they did go over 70 at Kentucky. I just sort of wrote that one off. So where do we – by the way, you want to speak, go ahead and request to speak, and we're going to come to speakers coming up here in just a second. But Bear, three in a row?
Yeah. Huge game coming up Saturday night. It'll be a late night for us.
You know, after that Kentucky game, we were all in our feelings, like, just maybe this team's not that good. I don't think they've arrived or anything like that, but what do you think about it, man? We got something going here?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, I think that they've, since that game seemed to be a turning point game, we had back against the wall, and we kind of pushed off of it and came out and took care of business. Who did we beat right after Kentucky? Was it Ole Miss? Is that who we beat on the week? Vanderbilt in that really tough game down there. And then we took care of business Saturday night and could have easily, I wouldn't say given up, but could have easily given up tonight and let them, but they kept scrapping, and Vescovy kept us in the game, got hot, and then, Ziegler hit two huge threes.
Oh.
And then we closed it down to eight before halftime, I thought was the key. I didn't want us to go into halftime down 13 like we 13 or 14.
Yeah, you're right. That was just to get it to single digits was huge.
Yeah. Then you're just, it's a two possession game basically at that point. That's nothing. I mean, 8-point lead's not much coming in at half in the SEC. It's a lot different than 15.
Yeah. Yeah. No, I thought that was a key sequence just to kind of hang around and not get too big a hole. And Tennessee's able to win it, I wouldn't say comfortably. I mean, it was a one possession game with 30 seconds to go, but, it's so weird for the just complete mind block that they have over us in football. It's turned into the opposite, man. When you see the Gators show up in basketball, Tennessee expects to win.
Yeah. And, it's gotten to be a habit now.
Yeah. They've got Florida's number. Oh, the Florida fans probably not happy with Mike White. Let's go. Let's get some folks in here. Ben is going to be up first today. Post game with Russell and Bear. What's up, Ben? Davey, I believe, is a little bit under the weather. We hope he's feeling better soon. What's up, Ben?
How you doing? Well, obviously, it's obviously a great night anytime you beat Florida and Mike White in his ridiculous looking khaki pants on national TV. I was gonna say, normally I'm not one to name names in retaliation, but I will. I think our friend Houston and Jamie misunderstood what I was saying last week. I think they were trying to say that I thought Bruce Pearl was a bad basketball coach. That's not what I said, and particularly Jamie, since he referenced me on y'all's show this week. I understand that he's usually predisposed with his Bruce Pearl blow-up doll. But all I said was that despite Bruce Pearl's success, in my opinion, he's always going to have that cloud of cheating over him. I'm obviously not foolish enough to not acknowledge that he's a good basketball coach. I was there. I mean, I was there when he was Tennessee's basketball coach and we beat the John Wall-led Kentucky team. So his talents as a basketball coach are not lost on me. Nevertheless, a great night to beat Florida, and I'm proud to see these boys go on a 3-0 run and start to get some success built up and start stacking that on top of other wins. And I'm looking forward to seeing them going down to Texas this week so we can give Texas the payback that they deserve. And that's all I got.
Payback for what? For stealing what's-his-face from us? Nayor?
Yes, sir.
Yeah.
And I hope Isaiah is there to watch us beat down his new favorite school.
Yeah. Isaiah Nayor. What are you doing? Go and play for that drunk Sarkisian when you could be catching 70 balls from beautiful Josh Heupel and Hendon Hooker next year. It's an outrage. Thanks, Ben. Good to hear from you. Appreciate it. Where did Bear go? All right, hold on. Bring Bear back in. I thought that Tennessee was able to weather the storm today, get through it, did not play its best basketball. I don't know what's going on with Plavsic right now. Was he reading his clippings a little bit too much? Was he not focused coming in here? Did they get under his skin? I missed most of the first half, Bear. Did you see the technicals? Or what? He only had one technical, right? I didn't think it was that bad, the push in the back.
Yeah, it wasn't that bad. They were on top of him from early on. They had the double technical. That was Vescovi and I can't remember who it was from Florida, but they were jawing back and forth. What about the guy that looked like Ruby Rod from The Fifth Element?
That dude is awesome.
Is that Reese?
I guess he's one of their hotshot freshmen. Where do they get these ridiculous-looking dudes? I mean, DeRuji looks like he's from another planet as well.
Yeah. Yeah, those guys there. And that's an odd-looking bunch. But then again, I'm old and they're kids. So
I guess they can't be as clean-cut and wholesome-looking as our dudes.
Exactly.
Let's get Wesley in here next. What up, Wesley? Wesley, connecting with Wesley. When we come to you, be sure to turn your mic on so that everybody can hear you. Wesley, are you with us? Wesley going once. Wesley going twice. All right, Wesley, I'm going to remove you. You just asked to get on again here later, and we'll bump you up. D.R. Vall is up next. What's up, D.R. Vall?
Guys, can you hear me?
We got you, man.
Okay, isn't Wesley. This is D.R. Vall.
Oh, yeah, I know. We introduced you. You're good. Okay. Go ahead, D.R. Vall.
Do y'all think our offense is maybe starting to figure some things out? Because if I'm remembering right, that is our first 70-point game in conference play that we won. Because I think you had said it once, Russ, we hadn't hit 70 yet, but I thought we did in Kentucky, even though we got blitzkrieg in that game.
Yeah. I thought I misremembered that. I guess I just sort of blocked it out from my memory, the Kentucky game. But, I mean, that was actually probably our best offensive game. Tennessee shot over 50% from the field that game. It's just Kentucky shot like 80%. But I don't know, man. I'm hesitant. Here's the thing about this team. Anytime you think, oh, man, this guy's figuring it out. Oh, we're getting better doing this. Oh, this part of Tennessee's game is getting better. Like the next game, whatever that area is, just goes all to crap. So I'm hesitant to say that, yeah, they're figuring some things out offensively. They're turning a corner or whatever, because if you do that, that almost guarantees we're going to come out and shoot like 20% and score 40 points against Texas, right? But I mean, I do think that the shots have been there all year long. We've been having the open looks.
They just haven't fallen.
Yeah. And they're falling today. So, I mean, I think we kind of got a glimpse of, we've seen these glimpses, man, and we didn't peak today. I mean, there were still some frustrating moments where, remember like a couple times there when it's like 51-47 and we cut it to one and then we just do something stupid, couldn't get over the hump until we finally did. But, you know, there's still so much room for improvement with this team.
Yeah, I mean, you kind of made mention of it with like Euros, man. He's just non-existent tonight, and I would love to see what this team can do. Maybe that was the Arizona game, you know, where everybody's just clicking on all cylinders. Because I mean, fuck, Arizona's what, number 3, number 4 team in the nation right now.
Yeah. Oh man, that win looks better and better with each passing week, right?
Yeah, and the Alabama loss looks worse and worse to me.
Yeah.
I don't know if it looks worse. It's just we were really shorthanded that night, and they out-athleted us at the end.
Yeah, but they keep losing, man. Who was it they lost to yesterday? I don't remember now.
Georgia. That was Georgia's first league win of the year.
Lose to fucking Tom Crean.
Well, guys, I'm glad Palmer could see Tennessee beat Florida tonight. It makes me absolutely sick to see his ass on TV after what he's fucking done to our football program.
But dome of his is awful tan and shiny, isn't it?
I thought the same thing, man. He's been vacationing with Ed O down there in Florida, I guess.
Yeah, he's either been in South Florida or he's hitting the tanning beds. You don't know. Did you see him, Russ?
Oh, he's sitting next to Heath Schuler.
He's got a savage, like, savage tan rocking right now.
Well, when you got that $37,000 a month showing up in direct deposit every month.
Oh, they gave him they gave him the one time. Remember that drop this week? We hadn't talked about it yet. On the Daily Show, The Drive, 3 to 6, Monday through Friday on Fan Run Radio. But they gave him just a lump sum, like whatever it was, what, $1.6 million?
A lump sum to a lump. Y'all have a good night, guys.
Thank you, DR Ball. Appreciate you, buddy.
Always with the cheap shots.
Old Fulmer's got a lot of nerve, man.
He's got fucking balls big enough to carry around in a damn wheelbarrow.
A lot of nerve and no shame.
Mm-mm. I wouldn't show my damn face. I'd be too damn embarrassed, wouldn't you?
I mean,
imagine if you had hired me. I came in and wrecked not only your show, but damaged the entire station. And, you know, you have to resign, but you still go out and hang out, you know, in between shows with the guys.
Well, not only that, but think about the financial implications of that guy last year when it was apparent that we weren't going to have a regular football season and it's going to be 25% capacity or whatever it was, no regular season tickets, had the nerve to ask everybody to just go ahead and let Tennessee keep their donations because it's the nice thing to do. And then turns around on the way out the door and takes $37,500 a month after he did what he did with Jeremy Pruitt. And he's going around telling everybody that he had no idea. He didn't know what was happening. And if you want to believe that, go right ahead and believe that. But he knew exactly what was going on. It's part of the reason that he hired him, because he knew that he was going to do it. And look, I mean, Fulmer's legacy as a coach is secure with me, and time heals all wounds, and I'll probably get over this. But for right now, when Josh Heupel's out there about to play a season with like 73 guys on scholarship or whatever it's going to be, and he's sitting there courtside, want folks to kiss his ring? GTFO.
100%. 100%.
GTFO. It's an outrage.
Even if you take him at his word that he didn't know what was going on, Russell, I mean, that's incompetence bordering on just at a level of dumb fuckery that has never been recorded. That you could be in charge of somebody going that far out of bounds and you don't know anything about it, then you damn sure, to me, you fire somebody like that for cause. It's no different than knowingly allowing. I mean, if you're that incompetent. But I don't want to get sidetracked in the former.
No, let's not talk about the football thing.
Yeah, I thought we've got to be able to, getting back to basketball, one thing I did want to say. You know, we've kind of been really impressed with the overall level of toughness, but they got to be careful. You don't want to get a red, you know, because referees are referees, and you don't want to get a reputation for being overly physical and overly rough. That can come back and bite you. So, you know, controlled aggression.
I don't want to take.
Yeah,
he's got to figure out the right times and right ways to use his aggression.
No, exactly. You know, I'd suggest watching a lot of film of, you know, Jarnell and Jaron. They were really good at it. Being really physical, really intimidating, but they weren't getting, I don't remember him getting like technicals, and they weren't getting silly stuff like shoving people in the back and, you know, but this is it's a dirty damn rivalry tonight, man. It's damn Florida.
Yeah, I like the hate.
Oh, yeah. I mean, if you look at the history of the rivalry just since the 2000s, you know, what I call the modern era of Tennessee basketball, when we finally got serious about it, I mean, Joakim Noah got his teeth knocked out. John Fulkerson basically had his face caved in. I mean, it wasn't just a black eye. I mean, he broke his orbital socket. He had to have surgery.
Yeah.
You know, it's a nasty, nasty deal when Tennessee plays Florida. And you see how chippy it gets in baseball.
Mm-hmm.
Now, I guarantee you that Kelly Harper doesn't want to lose to him.
All right, let's talk to Glenn next. What's up, Glenn? Glenn, yo, Glenn with two N's. What's up, brother? Oh, turn your mic on, Glenn. Bottom left of the screen there, buddy. Turn that mic on, brother. You got this. Glenn, come on, buddy. Where it says mic is off, you want to touch that purple thing, and then it'll say mic is on, and you'll be able to talk to us.
It's pink, Russ.
It's pink?
Yeah, hot pink.
Okay. But it turns purple when it goes on, right?
Turns blue. Yeah, kind of a periwinkle, I would guess.
Glenn, you're right there, brother. I mean, you're looking good in that hat and those glasses. It's a classy
looks smooth.
Goatee.
And yeah. Class up voluntary reaction for a change.
You gotta turn that mic on, dude. We can't hear you. Yeah, I mean,
you know, right, Russ, you can unmute his mic for him, I believe.
Oh, I can?
Check. That's the kind of stuff I do. You got me on lockdown right now. I can't do any of the things I normally do for you when you're talking.
Do what?
I'm a speaker.
Oh. Well, dude, I get like 10 messages from people that you've blocked. I want people to be able to listen to the show.
I went through, hey, dummy. I went through and unblocked everybody that wasn't an obvious bot account. Like, there's no hot 24-year-olds that are wanting to follow me.
I don't know if I'm buying that. Why would you block a bot? That's ridiculous.
I just do. Any of those ones, it's just automatic like I do on Facebook. Like, if it's some 25-year-old Ukrainian girl that's really, really hot, and she's requesting to follow me, and she doesn't follow anybody else, anything sports-related at all, I just go ahead and block them.
Why?
I don't know, because it's the easiest thing to do.
No, the easiest thing to do is nothing.
I've unblocked all the damn Maryville people.
You're creating something for you to do when there's nothing to do. All right. Gave up on Glenn.
I mean, you should have. This is stuff you should have told me this afternoon. You throw me a curve here. Go ahead.
It doesn't matter. It's good. It's all good. Westchester, you're up next. What's up,
dude? I agree with Bear. You got to block all the bots. Absolutely.
For what?
Because you don't want spam and all that on your, you know, then finding out your email address and all that. It's just scary what all they can find out from some kind of Twitter account, you know. It's just,
and they can't do it if you block them.
No.
I hope they can't. That's all I'm going by.
I don't think you guys realize how this works, but go ahead, Wes.
Yeah. I mean, you know, we're the old guys. What do we know, Russ? But you and I are the same age. But Tennessee found a way to win today. They didn't cover. I lost my spread with my four SEC games picked, but that's okay. That's okay. I'll win it back on FanDuel. That's the way it goes. You win some, you lose some. Just part of it. But Tennessee played Florida at home without Florida's best player, and they couldn't cover 9.5.
Dude, really? This is what you're going to come with on the post game show? We beat Florida in an SEC game, a hard fought SEC game, come back from 13 down, and you're going to call in and bitch about not covering the spread?
Okay, really, okay, hold on.
This is
no,
what you
I don't.
Do?
Hold on, hold on. If Tennessee,
hold on, no, you hold on. You called into our show today and told me that you demanded a halftime chat because you weren't going to be awake, and now here you are, and you're just calling into wine. You're a complainer, bro.
I stayed awake just for you, Russ.
This is weird. You're weirding me out right now.
I would tell you this: Tennessee should not lose another game until they play Auburn here. Is that credible?
Let me pull up the schedule. Hold on. What do we got here?
A&M this weekend, I think, right? Yeah.
Florida tonight. Texas this weekend. A&M at home next week. That's going to be a hard game, man. They're good. I think Tennessee should win, but that's going to be a hard game. Columbia on the road. Vandy at home. Yeah, so, I mean, you've only got A&M and Vandy. You haven't lost at home yet this year, so I can get down with that. Yeah, we should.
And A&M is games. Where they are because they played a really weak schedule so far.
That okay, yeah. That's true.
Because the one thing I was looking at was the LSU A&M game tonight, and apparently LSU was supposed to just blow that away. But we'll see what happens. But I don't know, guys. I'm still on the 50-50 seat with the collector here. We'll see where we go from here. But I mean, this was probably, can we call this our best conference win of the year at home?
No. No.
What's a better conference win at home?
LSU was better. LSU was better.
Yeah, maybe. I'll give you that.
Maybe it's about it. LSU was a borderline top 20 team. They're a better team than Florida.
I think they were like 12th or 13th in the polls. I mean, this is a good win. I'm not discounting. I mean, Tennessee's these last two wins are impressive. These last two wins were impressive. I mean, they've got something cooking. Got to keep it going here. Texas is going to be difficult. That's going to be a hostile environment. Texas is right on the cusp of being ranked. They actually are ranked in the coaches poll. They're number 25.
Let me ask you one more question before I get out of here. Can we keep Vescovi from just turning into a total goon and just losing control at the wrong point and getting kicked out of a game? I love his aggression, but I'm a hockey fan too, and I see him as kind of the hockey goon. Like, I just, that stuff doesn't really fly in American college basketball. So I appreciate his aggression. I appreciate his heart. I hope he can keep it under control. Is that fair?
Yeah. I mean, I don't worry about him getting thrown out. I don't think Vescovi's that. I mean, he's a physical player. I like the passion that he's shown the past couple of games, not getting pushed around and all that. And teams are going to come at him now that he's got this reputation as an elite scorer and three-point shooter. I mean, teams are going to try and be more physical and get under his skin, but I don't worry about it. The only guy I worry about is Urosh. I mean, I could see him. I mean, he did not handle things well tonight, and he's got to know his role. I think he's playing into the character a little bit. He's feeling himself the past couple of days. Everybody's got Urosh fever. And, I think he just tried to play into it too much. It's like, dude, yeah, we love the intensity you bring, the physicality you bring. But, just guard your position. Grab rebounds. You only had one rebound tonight. Like, that's why you're there, is to defend and grab rebounds. And you'll have a chance to make a bucket here or there, but Like, you know, it was a little bit extra, as the kids say. A little too much.
All right, guys. That's all I got. I'll get out of the way. Thanks. Have a good. Thanks for coming in. Have a good night.
Thank you, Westchester. Appreciate it. Let's get Ross in here next. What's up, Ross? Turn your mic on, Ross. Damn it, hey. Bear. Why do you keep going away?
Gentlemen.
Yo.
All right. So my Bluetooth speaker apparently has a slight delay, but that's all right. Okay, so when it comes to this game, I'll go ahead and get what I think in and jump out. I think we should not overreact when it comes to Uroš Plavšić, because I honestly am a huge critic of Rick Barnes. I managed to convince my whole family that this team was going to get bounced in the round of 32 at best earlier this season, and they've all become depressed and sad with me. And, so I promise I am willing to criticize Rick Barnes. That being said, I really do think that he made a good call tonight, because he saw Pat Adams walk out into that floor. He has seen Pat Adams in the past at this point. He's been in the SEC long enough now to get used to this guy and his, you know, dumb fuckery. And I believe that after that technical foul that Uroš got, he just went, you know what, man, we're sitting you down. This is not your game. This is not going to be called for the physicality that you want to play with. They're going to get ticky-tack fouls, and you're going to end up with three technicals. By the way, I am astounded at his ability to get more technical fouls in like three games than we've seen the entirety of last season between the entire team. So, but that's my thoughts on that.
Yeah, no, it's interesting, man.
It makes perfect sense.
Yeah, speaking of Barnes and like his thing with Uroš, yeah, I think he's definitely sending Uroš a message. And so, you know, the game started at 6, so I'm driving home. I'm listening to the first half of the first half on the radio. And, you know, they've got that mic set up like right there where Bob and Bert sit, and you can hear Barnes, and like he yanked, Fulkerson came in and didn't do anything. And I think Barnes jerked him and sat him down for, I think, the rest of the first half. And you could hear on the radio broadcast, like Barnes just tearing into Fulkerson. It was hard to hear exactly what he was saying, but you could tell he was perturbed. And
He was, you know, I mean, he percolates at some point during almost every game. But he, I hate that you missed it, because he was wound up almost from the word go. But neither team missed what, I mean, we were just trading punches there that first couple of minutes.
And yeah, we were
matching them shot for shot. And then we went through one of those lulls. But, yeah, he was not in a good mood tonight. And in all honesty, once the Florida's big went out with the eye injury, it was just you couldn't keep Plavšić in there because he was going to get exploited. He's not athletic enough to play with, you know, the other 9 guys that he was going to be on the floor with tonight. That was going to be a really fast game once that guy went out. That's just my
opinion. What happened after the game? Have you seen this video?
Yeah, I finally got a look at it. It looks like we damn near had a brawl. I mean, when you got somebody, one of the Florida kids had to get grabbed from behind.
Did he try to go in the stands too?
I'm not sure. I've only had a chance to run through it once.
Looks like the Applebee kid.
Yeah.
Well, yeah, if you've ever heard of Malice at the Palace, I guess this is the brawling at the bowling, but
I mean, imagine, I do want to just say this. If you take Florida, just take our emotions about Florida out of it. If the shoe had been on the other foot, we would be going absolutely psychotic on here right now.
By all means.
They absolutely got jobbed. I mean, Triple J tackled that kid.
What is that? Like, we all just – immediately stopped what we're doing, cursing Triple J. How can you do that? That's so stupid. Here, they're going to have three free throws. And then, like, Vescovi's running off down the court, and you're like, well, I guess we got away with one there.
For a second, I thought Jeremy Banks had masqueraded his way onto the floor and just decided can't be Florida on the football field. Might as well get him here.
I mean, if it was such a good hit. I mean, I was thinking about, you know, I mean, Heupel's probably sitting somewhere in the building, you know, looking at Tim Banks saying, hey, maybe we can get that kid.
Even Don from Sheepwater thinks Tennessee
got away with one. Oh, God, he tackled. We would be. And then what made it even worse was that Little Man went down and just drained a damn three. That's when I thought it was done. That you asked me earlier at the beginning when I stopped being nervous at that point. Because I knew that there's no way Mike White's going to be able to get past that and be 100% focused on. He did a pretty good job. Will Wade would have gotten ran. Bruce Pearl would have gotten ran.
Yeah, seriously. Can we stop having, like, coaches up here absolutely losing their minds? I'm really tired of seeing opposing coaches just throwing things around on the sidelines.
Oh, hell yeah. You got to like it, though, man. Because if they're that pissed off, they're getting the shaft. It's not out.
Hey, but the one last thing, and then I'll run out of here. When it comes to Josiah Jordan James, since we're talking about that guy, I am so happy to see him on this kind of total 360 from the start of the year when we saw this guy unable to, you know, throw it in the ocean, just terrible. And now he really feels like he's starting to come into a shot. You're seeing some of the energy on the offensive side that we've been seeing on the defensive side for a while. The one thing I want from him, they are leaving these wide open lanes to the basket because they don't respect his ability to drive in. And I wouldn't either. He's extremely timid once he gets inside the three-point arc. I want to see him just run it down the gut, push some guy out of the way, and go dunk it, you know? Even if he gets an offensive foul, just see him with a little bit of aggression because he's got the body for it. He's got the ball handling for it. For the love of God, he played point guard for years.
Talking about Triple J?
Yeah, it's Triple J. I want to see this guy stop shooting from behind the arc and drive because they're giving him lanes because they don't think he can do it.
Hey, get with Vescovi and learn that array of ball fix he has. Get guys up in the air and go by him. I'm with you.
Oh, my God. Like, could you imagine Triple J driving it down the baseline to kick it out to a wide?
Oh, he's a big guy, man. I mean, make him foul you. Get to the free throw line. I'm with you on that one. Anything else, Ross? All right, I think we lost Ross. If you want to speak, go ahead, request to speak now. Let's get my man Cray. Cray from South Carolina in here. What up, Cray? Turn your mic on, brother. There you go. Cray, are you with us? I love the Twitter spaces. You know, sometimes it works, sometimes it doesn't. You never know.
Man. Oh, hey, I did get some feedback when we're bringing people on, but we gave that one guy plenty of time, but there is a little bit of a delay, I've been told, and it is from between the time you hit unmute on your mic. It takes it a second to.
Yeah.
I mean, but we've been doing that.
I've never, like, yeah, I mean, I realize there's a little bit of lag there, but all right, Cray, jump back in, request to speak. We'll put you on watching Will Wade and, you know, Texas A&M 15-4, 4-2. I realize they haven't exactly played a murderer's row yet.
They played Kentucky off their feet.
Yeah.
They play defense.
Yeah, they're going to guard you. It's going to be physical. It's going to be a battle.
They're very – that game I watched with Kentucky, they played better than we did against Kentucky. But they're kind of similar. They play really, really good defense. So, where do we play Ziggler? Them?
Maybe Is it midweek next week, I believe?
Okay. So it's A&M, not Mississippi State.
Or, I don't know. Mississippi A&M.
I know we play Texas Saturday night.
One game at a time. The next one's the big one, the most important one.
This is a pretty big one in bragging rights. I'd like to see Barnes go down there and, you know, rub it in their faces. I mean, he'd never admit that in a million years, but I'd like that for him.
Just got to keep working, man. Got to put it all together. You know, the defense slipped a little bit as the offense comes up. If they can have that game where they play defense the way they have for most of the season, they play defense the way they did against Texas Tech and offense the way they did tonight. If you can do that, there aren't many teams that can beat you. There aren't many teams that can beat you if we can find that formula.
And just be consistent, man. That's the biggest thing we need is consistency.
Yeah. I think we will have that game at some point. We haven't had it yet. But, I mean, that's the magic word is consistency. Can they have that game? Then the light goes on like it did for the Grant and Admiral team where they played that way for like 2 months? Or is it just going to be a one-off thing and they're just never going to be consistent?
It seems like, you know, we've got three games now of, I feel like, improvement. We've been a little bit better. We've strung together three consecutive wins, and it would be really nice to get this thing to four. Just keep building momentum right now. And when are you looking for them to really for it go time? When you get into February, right before the tournament starts?
Yeah, I mean that's what. I mean, you want to be playing well right now. I love the Belichick answer a couple of weeks ago. And some reporter asked him something about how do you do that, peaking at the right time? How do you manage all that? And he's just like, he goes, we like to play well all the time.
I love that guy.
All right, let's try Cray again here. Connecting, speaker, turning mic on. What's up, Cray?
Oh, cool. Y'all can finally hear me.
We got you, bro.
I don't know what happened that first time. Maybe we're just not letting me speak.
It's all good, brother.
I just had a couple points, and then I'll head out of here. Folky, wacky, waveable, inflatable tube man. Don't know where the ball's going ever. Kumwa.
Oh, that's classic. How did that take 6 years until we realized that Folky is wacky, wavy, inflatable, arm flailing?
Exactly. That's what I'm saying. Kumwa equals Cedric Tillman. He goes up and gets it. That was sick. He had like two over the back catches. That was awesome. Does Appleby have that one dread straight up to look like an apple? If so, that's lame.
Now that's not Appleby with the that's Reese, and somebody hit me with this. This is beautiful. He's going bare with the reverse Derrick Henry.
I think you're talking about the blonde guy. I'm talking about Appleby had one straight up dread that whole time, and you know, unless he was moving and then it came off. Yeah, Appleby had one. Straight up dread.
Like alfalfa.
Yeah.
Alfalfa.
A straight dread.
Yeah. It was sweet.
No, but it was sticking straight up like alfalfa off the Little Rascal show. The one I'm talking about is Ruby Rod.
Yeah.
Ruby Rod Reese.
Euros is the guy in the heist movie that you have to remind not to kill people sometimes, but I'm fine with that. You know? You know, the clutch Barnes timeout. I didn't even know that you could go and reverse that call if you go back and hit that timeout.
I mean, that was the game, man. We didn't really talk about it, and I'm not a huge fan of that rule, but we were about to get hosed because they had called a foul on Vescovi, and I don't know about a hook and hold and all that stuff.
He got knocked into the second row.
Yeah, I mean, like, how in the world do you call that a foul? I mean, it should be Florida's ball out of bounds, but that was one that went our way. I guess technically it's the hook and hold. And
how many did we score on that little after all that? Because he buried both free throws.
What happened? 70-66, and they were going to have the ball with a minute, or they were going to have two free throws. They were going to be able to make it a 2-point game, and it goes from that to hook and hold. Scobie makes them both, and it's 72-66 with a minute left.
And then we got the ball.
Yeah, and Chandler drawed a foul and was able to make two free throws. And 8-point game with 41 seconds. I mean, it's pretty much academic at that point.
Yeah, so it went from two and a chance to it was over.
Oh, Florida got screwed with their pants on tonight. I mean, it's just
– oh, now, the hook and hold thing, I mean, the rules in the books, and the kid from Florida, and I mean this with all sincerity, he's really good at it, but he got caught. But he definitely hooked him. I mean, it was a thing of beauty.
They said that it had something to do with if he was already left the floor, if he had the hook on like beforehand or afterhand.
Yeah, the clinch is what they call it, Russell.
Yeah.
He clinched down when they were in air, and that's apparently the trigger.
One more thing. This felt like the Alabama game, but in reverse, and it finally went our way for once, which was cool. And also, Applebee a bitch. Love y'all.
Thank you, Craig. I appreciate it.
You know, Craig had a lot of good points. He's exactly right about that. I mean, how bad do you think that the team playing is for them? How roasted are those guys right now?
They probably just want to get home and rest and regroup.
Just so bitter.
It's unfortunate, man. Hopefully, I mean, I'm knocking on some wood right now, but hopefully we had our one little brush with COVID nonsense and it's over with. But,
well, I mean, from what Trace told me, they keep fairly separated. Like, from what Trey told me, I think they do like remote classes. So, you know, as long as it seems like we've been real careful all year, I hope that continues.
Yeah, I mean, it's a shame. If I did want to see somebody get screwed, you don't want to see anybody get screwed. But if somebody has to get screwed, it might as well be Florida. That's my position.
Oh, 100%. 100%.
Let's get some random guy in here connecting.
He's one of my favorite spacers.
Turn your mic on, brother.
Yo. Hey, on the hook, I mean, that was astute by Barnes. Dude for Florida knew he did it because if you watch it in the replay, he drops his arm like straight behind him and is trying to hide it from the ref. I noticed that on the replay. He's like, no.
Yeah.
My arm was nowhere near Vescovi, dude.
Yeah.
He's like, he did it. Yeah. And Barnes got it and he got the call. So.
That's why he took the time out, and then he asked him to look at it.
No, dude from Florida knew in real time he was screwed.
Oh, 100%. Yeah. That's exactly what I saw. I like how
the last minute of that game took roughly 47 minutes to play. That was fun.
It felt like the end of a close football game.
Oh, go ahead. Sorry,
bro. Everybody's running plays and chucking it and killing the clock.
Yeah.
I mean, the first half burned up in, what, like 52 minutes?
Yeah.
And the second half went fairly fast as well.
So, you know, looking at this team, looking at the schedule, I mean, looking at how they play, I mean, for as frustrated as we seem to be about this team, I mean, what are we now? 15-5? Are we
14-5, I believe. 5-3 in conference play.
Yeah. I mean, there's a real good chance that this team gets to the NCAA tournament at, like, 23-8 and a four seed, 24-8 and a four seed, somewhere in there. I mean, are we? I mean, and look, no, I'm 100% frustrated with the lack of cohesion. I thought they had turned the corner on the Arizona game, but God, they have just been so inconsistent since then. Nobody really seems to. It's like was said earlier, you know, hate to say something about we're doing well here because we're going to hell on that part of the game next game. And it's been very frustrating to not see anybody piece anything together. I mean, Kennedy Chandler early in the season looks great. Now he looks like he probably needs to come back for another year. I'm just kind of really hoping we, and it's been frustrating for us to watch them do it, but kind of hoping we pull a Kentucky and just string everything together starting about March 10th and just go on about a 7 or 8 game tear. I mean,
wrong
and think
that's what I'm talking about.
Is that how it feels to you? Like this is that kind of team maybe?
Yeah. I hope.
I mean, they've obviously adjusted their approach. I mean, that's been one of the criticisms of Rick Barnes. I never really necessarily bought into it, but I mean, we've all heard it. You know, he works the team so hard, they burn out and peak too soon and don't have anything left. And, you know, I mean, we're playing 10 guys in the rotation. He's changed his offensive approach. He's not jerking the young guys around as quickly. He's letting BHH and Powell play a little bit more now. And I just wonder if, you know, he's, I don't know, say heard the criticism and took it to heart, but, you know, looked himself in the mirror and just done some self-analysis and said, all right, you know, why are we not winning in the postseason? What, you know, why are Auburn and Will Wade and Nate Oates, why are these teams getting the better of us consistently now? And they're trying to change, man, trying to do some things differently, and we'll see if it pays off. But right now, I mean, the record is good. You're solid top 25 team. Defending really well for the most part. See if we can put it together, man.
The one thing I'll say, and then I'll throw it to whoever else is out there. You know, from a criticism thing in real time this year, hell, we've been playing that three guard lineup the last three or four games now. After everybody had been saying, why don't we have Ziegler and Chandler and Santi, Bob, Scovey, whatever, all on the court at the same time. And
because there's only certain teams you can do that against. There's some teams that would, I mean, you get steamrolled.
Yeah. So is it just that the matchups have favored playing a three guard the last 3 weeks, 2 weeks, three games, five games?
I think a lot of it is just how our bigs are playing. And I think Barnes just looked at it tonight and said, you know what? I'm not getting anything out of Plavsic. Kamwa's doing his, you know, he's okay. Fulke's playing okay. Huntley Hatfield's not giving me anything. So I'm going to go with the small ball lineup. And I don't say it flummoxed Florida, but it made Tennessee a little bit more athletic, seemed to cause Florida problems on their offensive end. And it's nice to have options. It's nice to be able to play with two bigs, but also to go a little bit smaller, get a little bit quicker.
Right.
Hey, I'll tell you another thing that even though we were our smallest guy got a block and posted up a big again tonight.
Yeah, he did.
What the hell? Zakai Ziegler.
Ziegler is, dude, that guy's energy level is just infectious.
Zerk Ziegler.
Put a Z on his chest. I just want to carve a little Z in your forehead.
I'm hoping, you know, I'd like to see all of our players succeed at whatever level they go to, but I'm really hoping that we have him as a floor leader for the next 3 years after this, because I think that guy is special. On that note, I'm out, guys.
Oh, yeah, I think, well, that's been the funnest part about watching him this year for me is, you know, I don't think we have to worry about him leaving for the NBA draft.
So there's another angle of the post-game confrontation.
Yes.
And Appleby's going after Ziegler.
Okay, yeah, but – Okay, so who had it's rolling around for me again? I'm at the end of it. I've got it.
Applebee's okay. Going after Ziggler.
Let's see, Jordan Powell's got a hold of Plosvic.
Yeah.
Who's got staff members got a hold of Ziggler?
Yeah, I think that's Rock Clark has Ziggler.
There's a Tomba appearance. I wonder if they told Tomba to stay close to Plosvic.
Campbell was doing some taunting at the end, and they had
Mary Carter Burger about ripped him a new ass. That's the only thing on our side that I see that's real out of line is Camois needs to. You can't keep running it. You know, once it's broken up, but it is Florida, so fuck them.
Well, I mean, but we talked about this Monday, like how we don't want Barnes to coach the edge out of Urosh. So, I mean, here it's a line you got to walk, right? Like, you don't want to be the hot dog team, like over the line team. I don't know. Maybe we do, but like it seems to me like there's a we've been too soft since Grant and Admiral left.
Exactly.
And but you don't want to be the fake tough guy. You don't want to be the guy that like because that's a bad look too. But we do have to step it up a little bit. And Urosh and Ziggler give you that.
Yeah. Urosh, Ziggler, Kennedy, because now Kennedy's playing a lot tougher now. I'll tell you, don't sleep on Vescovy. He's hot-blooded and hot-tempered. But the problem, the other thing that when you're soft like that and then suddenly you finally decide, hey, I'm not going to let anybody push this around anymore, is when teams come and try and do their normal intimidation routine and you buck them, it can pop off like this. You know? That, and we've got three really tough dudes on the team. We got a kid from Serbia, a kid from Finland, a kid from Uruguay, and a kid that grew up playing at Rucker Park.
Zerk Ziggler said, "You're not the boss of me, Applebee. You're not the king of Zerk. I'm the boss of me. I'm the king of me. I'm Zerk Ziggler. I'm the star."
Boogie, I don't know.
Anybody? No? Okay. I like Zerk.
Sorry, buddy.
I'm gonna roll with that for a little bit.
That's not one of your better ones, but we can. What was the other one he had? Who had Fulkerson as the inflatable tube,
wacky wavy inflatable arm flailing tube man?
Yeah, who was that one? Was that some random guy?
I don't know. It was
either some random guy or Cray.
Somebody on here.
Yeah, Cray.
I'm the boss of Zerk. Shout out to, that's beautiful, man. You're a star, Zerk Ziggler. You're a shining star. Let's get Trevor in here next. What's up, Trevor? Trev Dog.
Hey, Russ. How's it going?
Hey, going well. How are you, Smith? How are you doing?
Hanging there. Got a little bit of a virus going on, but maybe to watch some Tennessee ball. Nice. I have a quick comment to make about Fulkerson. I was checking the stats. In the last 8.5 minutes, he scored 7 points. So I don't know if that's his role going forward, but what do you think about Fulkerson finishing out the game like that?
Yeah, I mean, he's good Fulky, you know? I mean, sometimes you got good Fulky, sometimes you got bad Fulky. And today we had both. You know, he had bad Fulky in the first half, good Fulky in the second half. He's getting the ball. He's calling for it. He's making moves. He's finishing. He's making free throws. Got a little swagger to him. So, I mean, it's like everybody else on this team, man, just looking for some consistency. It'd be nice if we could just count on him for 12 points and 6 rebounds a game. You could start him and build your team around him, but we just can't do that this year for whatever reason. So, I like him coming off the bench right now. It seems to have taken some of the pressure off of him, and I would just roll with that for the time being.
Yeah, absolutely. I really like his response and comments about what Rick Barnes said about his play as of late and accepting his role, which is really cool to see as a senior leader, which he should be, super leader.
Yeah. Yeah. No, and he can do some of that stuff from the bench as well. You know, I mean, it, he's also the other thing that it allows him to do is they've got this two-man rotation thing where they bring him and Huntley Hatfield out together. And I think, you know, he's kind of like a coach on the floor to kind of help him know where to set up and talk him through some things that are going on out there.
Hey, do you think Huntley Hatfield kind of being just how young he is right now, he just is not going to do real well in a game like this one tonight? Just a real physical, nasty kind of brawler.
He had 4 minutes, no shots, one rebound, one turnover. It's his stat line tonight. Didn't get off the bench in the second half. And I think some of it is just, you know, Florida's a really good defensive team. They're really athletic and active. And
it's very aggressive.
I mean, it would be good for him to play. I mean, more, it would be a learning experience. But you got to win the game, right? I mean, you can't have him out there in the second half. And
oh, yeah.
You got to play to win.
Yeah, I mean, we're in it now. It's like you said earlier in the afternoon. We're in it now. There's no easy games from here. So
anything else, Trevor?
That's all I got today. Thanks, guys.
Thank you. Appreciate you.
So Barnes came out with a statement. He made a statement about apparently one of the Florida players lunged at the students. But Barnes on the post game, what went on post game with Florida, he says, I understand how competitive it is out there. I do. I really do. But we're going to have a classy program. We're going to have class here. You have to walk away. We're not going to talk to opposing benches. We're not doing that. So. But I mean, what's he supposed to say? I mean, he's got to say that.
I mean, that's fine. And yeah, he has to say that, and everything he said is right. I'm down with that. My only thing is it rubs me raw the way nobody went to bat for Fulke and called out the league and Mike White and Florida on what happened last year when, I mean, that basically Tennessee played Alabama off their feet. We might win that game. You know, it might change the trajectory of the SEC tournament. It might change the trajectory of the NCAA tournament, what happened there. And I just feel like the administration, Barnes, who just kind of rolled over, turned the other cheek or whatever. And, I mean, what do you expect? Like, if they're going to get away with that, then, yeah, all hell's going to break loose the next time these two teams hook up. So, to hell with Florida.
Because I'm telling you right now, the guys on the team haven't forgotten it. And they aren't – those guys, the kids, they aren't going to roll over for that. They remember that shit going down last year. I mean, it was damn near – I mean, if he turned around and done it, you know, I mean, it was – he really Tomjanoviched his ass. I mean, he broke his face, man. And not shit didn't happen about that. You know, that's been that, you know,
don't coach it out. I mean, look, yeah, we don't want fighting going on in the post game handshake line. And there's a limit to what is considered acceptable. I mean, I would love to know what Ziegler said to Appleby to set him off like that, but don't coach that. That's what makes Ziegler Ziegler. That's what makes Urosh Urosh. Don't turn them into robots, man. Don't take their edge away. We need that.
It's what makes
it's why we've won 3 in a row.
Yeah. And it's definitely what makes Vescovi. I mean, it is. I mean, he has that. He's Cortez the killer, man. He just buries threes. But you can't mess with him at all.
No, I'm not worried about him. I worry though about like how we manage Ziegler and Urosh because they're keys. They're
They're juice guys.
Yeah, and one's really young, and one's just, I mean, Blasevich. Yeah, I mean, we joke about it all the time, but, I mean, that's just how a lot of those guys are that grow up over there. I mean, those are hard dudes, man.
I mean, he might have a flathead screwdriver keister to that he can break out at any moment, shoving some dude's neck. Oh, you don't know. You don't know with Urosh.
Oh, he might have some kind of crazy Serbian straight razor in some hideout pocket right inside his shorts. He'd whip out and start slashing. Dude, he's crazy, man.
Let's talk to Ryan next. What's up, Ryan? Go ahead, man.
What's up, y'all? How are y'all doing?
Doing well, thanks.
Big time win tonight. I'm fine with the guys having a little bit of an edge to them. I mean, you look at Grant Williams and Admiral Gator Chompin back in that win a few years ago. We need that edge right now. I feel like Bear said, there's those guys that are just robots right now. And I think we need to have a little bit of fight. And I like that. I like the way we closed out the game tonight.
I just want him to be smart about it the way Admiral Schofield always was.
Yeah, and here's the other thing about it is, so, you know, Florida turned on the tape of the LSU game, and Texas is going to turn on the tape of these last two games. And that's something that, you know, they're going to have to spend time talking about and game planning for. It's like, look, these guys are a little bit rough. Ziegler talks nonstop. They're physical. Maybe borderline a little bit dirty at times. And, like, that's all the time that they have to spend talking about that and preparing for that. That gets in the other team's head, and it's time that they can't spend working on their sets or working on defending out of bounds plays and stuff like that. It's just another element of the game that we've been missing for a little bit and is a big benefit right now.
I think also, you know, taking time away for really drilling it in practice, how you're going to defend Santi. You know, that's what, if I were playing Tennessee, that's what I would be trying to figure out how to do, would be to handcuff him. And if the other guys beat you, they beat you. But, I mean, that's what I think when we get, that's what people are going to start trying to do against us. I mean, he's averaging close to 20 points a game right now, isn't he?
On the season, I think it's more like 13 or 14. But in the, I'd be interested to see what it is the last,
since SEC play started,
like 4 or 5 games.
I mean, he's really dialing it in right now. So, Ziegler had those too. If we get a little bit better shooting and more consistent shooting, especially outside. Because he's so fast that he can dribble his way to being open for a three. I mean, he just zigzags through everybody. Hmm. What about that reverse layup?
Oh. The thing about that was so awesome is, and how underrated Hart is he is a lefty. And he goes and he makes that shot right-handed. It was kind of awkward, but it goes in. That's really hard to do. It's a hard shot to do with your dominant hand, let alone your offhand.
You know, and Fulkerson, he had a crazy hard shot.
Oh,
that he just fucking manned up, nutted up, and fucking dropped one right when we needed it. That was a huge shot.
Where we got the NBA continuation.
Yeah. Kind of the fall. It was like a fall away.
It was kind of Dirk-ish, you know, Dirk Nowitzki.
Yeah, kind of. I mean, we made some really big plays tonight. More than they did. So, but damn, they were hot in the first half. They started, what, 4 for 5 from three?
Yeah. I didn't get to see much of the first half.
Sounded like you're lucky.
Shooting the lights out.
It was, and they were, you know, we tried to press them and they stopped that real quick. Mm. That's when they started dropping threes on us.
Matthew is up next. What's up, Matthew? Turn your mic on, brother. Matthew. We might be having a connection issue with my man, Matthew. LSU's got their hands full. We're tied at 23 in Baton Rouge.
They're kind of beat up right now, aren't they?
You there, Matthew?
We got it? No, it still says connecting.
I see the mic going on and off, so... Yeah, Pinson is still out for LSU. That's a big loss for them.
Yeah. I mean, there's, to me, there's Kentucky and Auburn right now. And then there's what, the next six?
Yeah. Well, I don't know the six, but I mean, there's the next, it's Tennessee, LSU, maybe A&M.
Kind of Alabama, as crazy as it sounds, not to be putting them in there.
I think Bama's fallen off a little bit, man. I don't know what's going on there, but I mean, they might be in the third group with Florida. I don't know what's going on with Arkansas right now, man. They're struggling to find their footing in conference play.
Yeah. All
right, let's try Matthew again here.
Okay.
Couldn't connect with him.
Old Matthew, boy from Texas. Is he there? Unmute your mic. There he is.
There he is. What's up?
Sorry about that. I don't know what was going on with my mic.
It's all good.
Man, Russell, I'm not trying to look ahead, but I keep looking ahead, and we got A&M. I mean, after Texas here, guys, we'll have A&M at home, and right now they're struggling with LSU, and then we'll go on the road to Mississippi State and South Carolina, and I keep looking back, and I'm like, if we had just been healthy versus Alabama, I mean, we're sitting at 6-2 and we're tied for second place in the conference with Kentucky. And I'm kicking myself right now with that game.
Yeah. Yeah. But, I mean, you had kind of the same situation that Florida did where you're missing guys. COVID's wreaked havoc on your schedule a little bit. So, I mean, you'd still get hot this year. And hell, man, I mean, wouldn't it be fun to finally get over the hump against Bruce Pearl on Saturday, February 26th at Thompson Bowling? I hope they come in here on a big win streak, number one. It'd be nice to knock them off the pedestal.
That it would. And hopefully we can just stay healthy. I think, you know, that's the biggest thing, getting in the conference play here, find out the rotation. I don't know if it's – I know it's a small sample size, but I really feel comfortable watching Uros out there. I mean, this was his – I know I didn't see what exactly happened with the technical, but I do feel that we're a lot better suited defensively than we normally were, and I appreciate John Fulkerson, but you can just tell this team has a little bit more of an edge to him when he's out there on the court.
Yeah. Yeah, no, it's helped out big, and
I thought Fulky looked better tonight.
Yeah,
more like himself, you know, like when he was on camera.
It's a good matchup for him.
Yeah.
Well,
I mean, it gets back to what we were just talking about with Urosh and the other teams having to spend time talking about him and his physicality and everything. And it's like that's time that they used to spend. Oh, Fulky, you know, he's small, he's weak, you got to body him up, and that was effective against him. Now they're spending time on Urosh, and Fulky kind of flies under the radar, comes out there, does his little Fulky thing, and makes him a more effective player.
One last thing, and I'll get off here, is we've seen it all season long. This team is defensively sound, but offensively it's not anywhere near what we want as a fan. My question is, once we get into March, do you think this team, the way it's playing now, can make a run, or do you think it will need to put on more points? And I'll hang up and listen. Thanks, guys.
Oh, thank you. I mean, I had already said it. I think if you're wanting to talk second weekend, like Sweet 16, you're needing like everything you always talk about, Russell. We need all five starters to hitting double digits every game and getting points off the bench. You gotta be really hitting on all cylinders.
I mean, we're still looking for other guys. You know, what happens if Vescovi has an off night?
We go home.
I mean, Josiah tonight, your leading rebounder with 9 rebounds, 4 assists, but 4 turnovers, man. 38 minutes, 3 of 8 from the field, 1 of 5 from 3-point range. I mean, he's like right at 20% 3-point shooting for the year. And the one he hit was big, but I mean, if you're going to take 5, you need to make at least 2.
Yeah,
I would say. So, I think that, yeah, Tennessee have to continue. This was a great step to score 78 in a close game against a good defensive team was a good step. Now, it's Texas, Chris Beard, for folks who don't remember, I mean, he was Texas Tech's coach the year they made the Final Four, played against Virginia.
Oh, yeah, he's a real deal, man.
And, yeah, I mean, they will freaking guard you. Lots of transfers. They've been up and down this year, playing a little bit better here lately. You know, it's his first year there, so I don't think they're as good as they're going to be. It's a winnable game for Tennessee. It's the last year at the, what do they call it, the Darrell Royal facility or whatever down there. Whatever their arena is called, and they're fixing it up. Barnes is going back. So, I mean, you're going to hear about all that storyline and everything. I hope the guys realize what it means for Coach Barnes and lean into it a little bit this week. Big game.
Yeah, we've got, don't forget, we've got Brian Davis, who's one of the really good beat writer, covers Texas on tomorrow's afternoon show, right off the jump, 3:20. So I'm really interested in seeing, you know, like I'm what the reaction is going to be to Barnes, you know, is going to be coming back. But it's been what, 7 years now? Is that what it's been? So I think he'll get a warm welcome.
Oh yeah, everybody loves old.
But I'd also love for him to, you know, put a 12 to 15 point walloping on Texas down in their gym. That was fun playing them with Pearl. That's kind of what I felt like really sparked that whole, when we realized that, you know, Pearl was a real deal. For me, was that first time we played Texas.
Oh yeah, going down there. Is this the first game to Austin since that game?
I'm not sure. I think it may be.
I think it is. I remember just having like no hope going into that game, and
I listened to that one pretty much on the radio the whole way. I was working. It was when I worked down in the old city, and then it just, as the game wore on, it was like, wow. But then you have the one up here with the where do you say Lofton shot from on the floor? We dropped it right in Kevin Durant's face
from way downtown.
It's like at the corner of the logo of the state. So I don't know. I'm really looking forward to this one, aren't you?
Yeah, we're going to do a watch party. If you guys want to come watch the game with us, we're going to be at Walk-Ons. It's an 8 o'clock tip Saturday night. I'm going to be down there eating dinner around 6:30, 7, something like that. And maybe a couple drinks, watch the game, and see if we can keep this thing rolling. Come on out. It's across from Westtown Mall and Kingston Pike. Walk-Ons is a great spot, and we will be there with the whole fan-run crew doing the thing. Jake Taylor? the catcher for the Indians from back in the day?
Also known as the Jake you told to shut the fuck up.
Uh-oh, Rexy. I don't think this one's got the distance.
It says my mic is on.
What's up, man?
Yeah, you're on.
Yeah, we got you. I was just...
Yeah, a buddy of mine, Beatles Brian, almost got into a fight with... who's the guy that played Jake Taylor in the movie?
Tom Brenneman or...
Behringer.
Behringer.
Yeah, Beatles Brian almost got his ass whipped in a bar out in Colorado by Tom Behringer.
Has he never seen Platoon? That's a dude you don't mess with.
Funnies.
I'm a buddy Beatles Brian's crazy, man. Or he was.
I'll take your word for
funny
it.
Funny story real quick is of course it was just in high school. But I was a catcher my whole life and I've had 3 knee surgeries. So
what is your position on Renee Russo as an actress and a beauty?
Absolute diamond.
Renee Russo?
Diamond.
Is that big square jaw? She looks like Kirk Douglas.
Bear, stop. I was only going to talk to you, Bear, because of Russell's...
Go ahead.
Me
go
and
ahead.
My Russell's past differences.
I mean, mistakes were made that night, Jake.
Russell has never apologized.
You got to accept he won't.
Wait,
he
when won't. Did I tell you to... STFU.
Russell.
This is Jay.
Russell. Brian Maurer.
Yeah.
LSU game.
You screamed at
told
him,
dude.
Me to
shut the fuck up.
I'm confused. I thought
that. You thought it was Jay. We had this conversation in the last Twitter Spaces.
Yeah. Did I tell Jay and Jake?
No, just Jake.
Up?
Me.
Just
Jay. Yeah.
Why do you sound different to me now?
Well, I'm probably not. I'm not drunk tonight.
You sound much less obnoxious.
Well, yeah, that is very true.
I'm just breaking balls, Jake. Go ahead.
Hey, you know, last year's Florida game, if Euros was on the floor when that happened to John Fulkerson, what do you think happens?
Hopefully some retribution. Hopefully, I don't know, man. They showed the replay of that tonight, and I think Vescovi Pons was the one who stuck up for him the most. But like nobody, I mean, at least shove somebody, at least get in somebody's face, curse somebody, drop an F bomb like I did on Jake back in the day. I mean, stick up for your guy.
The dynamics of the team, the way it stands now this year. I would expect, you know, Plosic to be lunging at him, and they may not realize that Zakai Ziegler has shivved him.
I think Euros would be in jail for 15 to life.
You aren't going to do anything like that anymore. But like Russ, you know, like we talked about, you have to be able to control it.
Right.
Nah. The best thing Admiral did wasn't the real physical stuff. It was he was incredible at getting under people's skin and getting guys to make mistakes, mental mistakes.
Right.
And it's just an art form. So
all fun aside, guys, I love Kennedy Chandler and he had a great game tonight, but man, these easy layups that he keeps missing, I think he had 3 or 4 tonight that could have added multiple points, you know, to our game. What do you guys think about that?
The one on the fast break, I mean, this team misses more fast break layups, not just him, than just about anybody. Very frustrating. Just something you got to continue to work. I mean, those are hard shots, man. Anybody who's ever played basketball knows, like, you're dribbling, trying to go as fast as you can, trying to slow down and, you know, put some touch on the ball. Very difficult, but it's doable. You just got to practice it, work it, get used to it. Got to make those shots.
You know, I was just – Trey just texted me, about Vescovi, but it brought to mind something. We don't have – if we had anybody that can do play above the rim the way Jordan Bowden could, like, we aren't making those kinds of plays right now either. with this all, you know.
Well, we have, like, we keep trying for these little, you know, in the lane alley oops that we can't convert on. It's frustrating, man. The pass is off. And, but yeah, I don't know. You don't want to just say, oh, we're just not good. We can't make those. You gotta start making them, man. And maybe that's just, to me, it gets back to peaking at the right time, gelling. There's another level for this team to hit, man. I really believe that.
Hey guys, well, I appreciate it. Thanks for having me on. I'm still waiting on your apology, GT, Russell.
I'm sorry. I don't apologize.
It's okay, Jake. It's okay. Yeah, Russ, that's the one thing that really, I mean, the two guys that I'm looking for to make explosive, kind of like above the rim kind of plays are Triple J and Kamwa. Because they're two guys that physically they should, you know, if they wanted to go to the rack and dunk, it seems like they physically they should be able to. I mean, those are big dudes.
I mean, they get cleanup dunks a lot. You know, Triple J had a nice one on the baseline today, and I think Kamwa might have had one at some point, but they're not like grabbing the ball at the elbow, one dribble down the paint, throwing it down in somebody's face.
Yeah. Bowden was good for those. Admiral was good for those. Grant was good for those. Fulkerson used to do it a little bit, but we don't have anybody that can just straight deal like that down low.
That's good. I don't know who is the best dunker on the team. You know, obviously Pons last year.
Kennedy Chandler doesn't do it. I mean, hell, he missed a another damn layup. So he needs to continue to improve on finishing.
I think Meshack, there was one time Meshack had the ball, and I know he's not a polished offensive player yet, but there was, it was in the first half where he got the ball on the wing and drove, and like the shot wasn't there, so he kicked it back out. Then he got the ball on the wing again in the same possession, and he made a great move to get down near the block, and he had the shot, and you could tell he just not confident, and he tried to pass it to, I think, Urosh, and just ends up going out of bounds. And it was like, dude, you got to pull the trigger, man. Like, I know Barnes is probably coaching him that, listen, your role is just to defend and rebound out there. Don't worry about offense. But you get up close like that, man, you got to put it up there.
Yeah, I mean, the one kid that I've seen do it and, like, backboard shaking dunks playing like that is Hatfield. But it was, you know, when he was playing against kids his own age.
I feel like Meshack and Dabunje can probably throw it down, but obviously that's maybe a year or two before we're going to be seeing that much.
Yeah. And I've seen, you know, he's done it in Kamwa's done it in a couple of games this year. He's had a couple of them. But it's just, I guess, like everything else with his game right now, is that his biggest problem is he can't come out and find any kind of consistency night in and night out. Boy, Will Wade is just a prick, isn't he?
Punchable face, that posture. You think he wears a man's ear? You think he wears a bro?
No. It might be the only explanation for why his guts hang so far out over his pants.
So Kamwa tonight, 6 points on 3 of 7 shooting, 4 rebounds. It's like, it's okay.
He should be doing double that, man. If you want to make the Sweet 16, he's got to be that needs to be 12 and 8, I mean, at least.
I mean, I don't know if it even has to be that high, man. I mean, it's close. Like, 8 points and 6 rebounds is like so much better than what he, like, there's a big difference there, man. There's a big difference. Either, we're scoring in the 80s at that point.
Either him or Triple J needs to be getting close to 14 every night. Take some of the pressure off. Balance the offense out a lot better.
Let's
I mean, I'm just strictly talking about, like, when we get into the tournament.
let's talk to Chase next as we wind down this post-game show. What's up, Chase?
Hey, how are you guys doing?
Doing well.
How I'm doing all right. Man, I just wanted to – one guy that has disappointed me this year, and I really – I hope he does well this weekend against Texas, is Victor Bailey. He's just not been playing like himself. I generally don't know what's going on.
Victor Bailey goes home to Austin as well. Another storyline there.
Yep. But
boy, he was terrible in his two-minute cameo tonight.
Oh, I mean, he got that – the missed three, but then he had the free throw that he missed too. It's just like I want him to succeed, but he's just not doing well at all. And at what point
– I get really sad when Russ talks about Victor Bailey. He calls him a broken player.
Yeah, I don't –
Yeah.
Oh, my bad.
It makes it makes me sad, man.
Yeah. Makes me sad when he checks into the game.
Yeah.
That's brutal, man. I feel bad for the kid.
So do I.
But it's all in his head.
It's like, yeah, honestly, I mean, especially that three today, it kind of looked like he had no confidence. Especially how
no confidence.
He shot, it was like a little, I mean, it was short. Rather shoot, I'd rather shoot far than short, but
he's an incredible athlete not to be able to have on the floor.
Exactly. Exactly.
If he could ever just put it together.
Yep. But, no, I mean, but that's all I've had to say. And, I mean, I've been thinking this for a while. I know I forget what week it was y'all brought it up. I think it was – I guess it was Bama when they had Victor Bailey out there instead of Powell. But ever since then, he just hasn't – he has been doing well. So –
but what did Powell end up with tonight, Russ?
He made 1-3 in the first half. He was
kind of kept us in it.
1-4 from the field, 1-2 from 3-point range. He did have that nice play where he pump faked, drove baseline, and kicked it out to it was Vescovi. It was a big play. So he's starting to do some other things. He had 4 rebounds, the 2 assists, didn't turn the ball over, 2 steals for Powell. So, man, I mean, he's got a more complete game. Like, it's easy to look at him and say, well, he's just a shooter, and he can do some other things out there. But, man, if that shot starts falling consistently, he can be a good player.
I'm still blown away at one of our better rebounders or just gets around the ball is Ziegler.
Yeah.
I mean, it's 5'9".
Well, Vescovi too. Vescovi's like the 14th leading rebounder in the league.
Yeah, he's a ball hawk.
He gets more rebounds than Jabari Smith.
Well, yeah, I mean, Vescovi's going to be playing basketball for a long time. Probably making really good money doing it. He's good.
I hope I see some. I tune into the Olympics here in like 12 years and see a 32-year-old Santi Vescovi playing for Uruguay.
Oh, yeah.
With some serious Ginobili game going on.
Oh, yeah.
Behind the back passes, just like balding, you know, with a headband on, maybe a knee pad, and just bombing threes, just old man game for days.
I always forget you're huge. You're like a crazy Ginobili fan, aren't you?
Oh, man.
Always loves Ginobili.
One of, I think, Kobe's favorite player that also played. Kobe said he was a bad man.
It's been 2 years today, I think. I'm almost positive since we lost Kobe and all the rest of those poor folks.
Year ago, tomorrow. Here in 2 hours, we'll mark the 1-year anniversary of Josh Heupel being hired by the University of Tennessee.
Yeah.
You're on board the hype train. We'll have a full retrospective coming up tomorrow on the drive.
Here's something not to be morbid or anything. It's tomorrow as well. On a personal note for me. It's 1 year ago tomorrow was when I casually walked into the emergency room thinking I had broken a rib and left 20 minutes later with lung cancer.
Wait, you had the you didn't get lung cancer the day they hired Heupel.
January 27th was my diagnosis date. I double checked it after the show today when you said that.
It wasn't the that's not lining up in my brain. Chase, we walked all over your phone call, brother. Anything else?
You're fine. No, I appreciate it, honestly.
Thank you, man. Appreciate you.
See, when all you right. said it, when you mentioned Heupel's 1 year anniversary earlier, it kind of took me aback. And then I went and checked. I was like, yeah, wow.
Well, you're both still here.
You damn Skippy.
So that's good. We got that going for us, which is good. Bears not dead, and neither is Tennessee football.
Nope. I want that big Bobby Hill looking son of a bitch to make it. I want him to be here 10 years. It was fun watching Tennessee play offense this year.
If I had to choose between Bear not dying and Tennessee football not dying, I'd choose Bear, but it would be close.
I mean, if she was on the other foot, I'd say the same thing. Oh, they're showing the highlights here. Fulkerson had that the big 3-point play. They just showed that.
Yeah, that play was every bit as much a foul as the Triple J 3-pointer. I still can't believe they got away with that. Is that the worst no call we've seen this year?
That may be. I'm telling you, dude, that's the kind of stuff is the reason that I was only a referee for 1 year. I mean, I'm not kidding. Like, that's the kind of things I would do. When you guys were asking me,
let them play.
What made me a bad? I would swallow a whistle.
Just like let them play.
They just fucking swallowed the whistle.
That is my worst, like, all-time sports cliche. Let them play. Oh, you mean just ignore the rules of the sport? Let them play. Oh, you mean don't call fouls? Yeah, that's nice. Here's an idea. Why don't we just call the rule book the way it's written? You see a foul, you call it. How about that? Like,
yeah, but you could tell the difference with referees, whether they're calling a game super tight or too loose, and a good crew, you never even notice they're there. You don't even think about them after the game.
I don't know. I just
tonight's crew was horrendous.
If there's a foul, call it.
Tonight's was fairly obvious.
These teams are so good. I don't want to deprive everybody of a good game by calling fouls. Like, what? It makes no sense.
Well, I mean, there's a difference between, you know, calling a hand check foul and, you know, Triple J imitating Leonard Little.
Well, yeah, but if
just blowing some dude up,
and I don't even remember, because like some years a hand check is a foul and some years it's not, and some years it's points of emphasis. My thing is, if it's a foul, just call it. Like, if it's a rule, call it. And if you're not going to call it, take it out of the rule book. Like,
yeah, I agree with you.
This idea that we're going to call it in some games, but not other games. Other games, we're going to let them play. Like, that's what gives sport a bad name. It's like, that's
there was no ambiguity about it tonight. I mean, he pretty much torpedoed that kid.
Let's get Clint in here. He's been waiting forever. And then we'll get Trey and TJ, the Kentucky fan. And then we're going to bed. Clint, go ahead. Oh, wait, I lost Clint. What? Oh, it said there's an error trying to add. Sorry, Clint, if I did something. I don't think I did. It's always a distinct possibility. Trey Wallace can now speak, according to my phone. What's up,
hey,
Trey?
Hey, boys, how are y'all?
Oh, you got a new Abby.
Oh, I did. I couldn't sleep last night, so I just decided to change some things up. That was y'all were talking about that James call. I think one of the most interesting parts, excuse me, of the game was when Rick Barnes was talking about Mike White making the referees go over there and check the basketball to see if there was
check the basketball.
Yeah, y'all didn't catch that tonight? under the 2 minute mark. Under the 2 minute.
Oh, check the replay to see who it was off of.
Yeah. Well, Barnes made it out, and I have to go back and watch it, but under the 2 minute mark, Barnes made it out that Mike White wanted them for some reason, to go back and check the, he said the basketball. And he said that's a rule.
Yeah, I think he was just checking to see who was off of. I don't think they were like checking to see who right, was properly
But it gave them an extra timeout. And Barnes was kind of laughing about it tonight and saying, yeah, he's a part of the rules committee, you know, and he's going to have to
go. It's a crafty move by Mike White to get that timeout.
That was smart.
And they got a three off of it. And it was a crafty move by Barnes to get him to go back and get the hook and hold. So those refs were just getting worked by both coaches all night long, and they deserved it because it was a bad, poorly officiated.
Well, that's what you're going to get, though, with Pat Adams on the call anytime and that crew. I thought.
How do they still let that guy call games, man?
You know, I don't know. He's on the Southeast rotation of officiating officials. And, you know, there's just some of these games. I mean, he might call 2 to 3 games a week. You know, and he's making bank doing it, especially with the crew that he's with. So I don't know, man. Sometime or another, they're going to have to make decisions. Hey, we got to find, you know, either more referees to come up from better, you know, different divisions, you know, Sun Belt, AAC, whatever you want to call it, American. But I don't know. That's for the amount of money that these guys make a night. It's surprising that they get away with some of these guys that are still doing it. Especially at the level that they are.
Yeah.
You're talking about $1,800, you know, $2,000 a game.
I mean, it's a racket.
Yeah.
But you would think they would want to get the best the best talent, the guys that are just neutral. And like Russell says, we'll just call a foul. And if it's not a foul, it's not.
Yeah, I couldn't tell. I couldn't be in the arena tonight. I wanted to be there. But what was going on at the end of the game with the scrum, was it just because Tennessee players were gator chomping, you know?
No. The videos, they haven't really shown what from the very beginning of it. When they pick up, somebody with Tennessee staff has a hold of Zakai Ziegler. Powell has got his arms around Plasvich. Kamwa was running his mouth. And then who was it, Russ? Appleby?
Appleby is the one who was incensed. He was going after Zakai Ziegler. Must have said something to him in the post-game line.
Yeah, okay. I
wonder what he said.
Who knows, man? That game was full of trash talking.
What'd you say, Russell?
Good game. I'll just say good game. See you next time. Hell of an effort, buddy.
And Danny White was sitting down there at the end of the bench watching it go on as it all happened. So that was that was interesting. I mean, like Tennessee, I think, you know, about Tennessee basketball, you know, when they have to play four of those bigs on their front line, you know, you're not going to get much of anything if you're having to take the ball away from Chandler, Ziegler, or Vescovi. That's the one thing that surprised me. I mean, you know, Kamwa went with a headband tonight. Kind of changed things up. Maybe thought it would help his game. And it's interesting the fact that, you know, Tennessee is still not getting enough from their front line in the first half compared to what they get maybe under the 5 minute mark. Because I mean, Fulkerson kind of, you know, he stepped up from that 7 minute mark on, but it's just, you know, Tennessee's going to go far, man. You know, they're going to have to rely on Olivier, and they're going to have to rely on Euros to be that force in the middle. But the key thing is, Zakai Ziegler can't be the leading rebounder in the first half, man. I mean, he had 6 rebounds and led the team. You're just not going to go far.
I don't think Rick Barnes was very enamored with his big men play tonight.
No, yeah, he did. And I'm interested to see how they play Texas, because Texas is very, very – they're going to be in your face. You might see a lot of man-on-man when it comes to them. So, what, you know, I think that if you're 11-0 at home this year, you've beaten Florida, what's it, seven straight times now in Knoxville, seven of the last eight meetings. So, I mean, it, you know, Tennessee's trying to figure it out the right time, but I give credit to Barnes after the game, man. He's not backing off his guards, you know, talking about the turnovers that they were doing and them not understanding what they're trying to run still to this day. You know, that's kind of worrisome if you're a Tennessee fan.
No, they had some – they just had some boneheaded plays out of those guys.
Yeah. No,
I mean, how many turnovers did we have in the first half? Like 10 or 11?
11.
And they had like
– three.
No, but I mean, yeah, I'm just talking – their points off our turnovers were – it was like 14.
Yeah.
First half. Or 16, yeah. Maybe.
Yeah, that's what it was. So, it's,
yeah.
I find it interesting to see how this team plays, you know, on Saturday against Texas. And then you come back home. And, you know – you got it. We've talked about it a lot. You know, the biggest thing is where they're sitting at right now. You got to stay in that top four, man. You want that double bye in the tournament, and your wins are looking even better. I mean, Colorado had a nice win the other night. Arizona's playing pretty damn strong basketball. So, I mean, if you can stay in that spot, it's going to help you out with the NCAA tournament as well when it comes to seeding.
What was it today, Bear? We're a four seed, according to Lenardi.
Right, that now is correct, sir.
Another nice win. So, I mean,
that's wow. Pretty accurate. We're sitting around, we're probably, you know, anywhere from 16 to where are we at right now? 18th?
Yeah.
11th and 11 in the net rating, which is what they use.
It's easier. I just go off the polls.
You know, I think it's something y'all were talking about. The reason why I hop on here for a second with you guys. Isn't it crazy? We're a year into the hype layer from where we were last January. I mean, it's kind of mind blowing a little bit to realize, first off, the year has passed so quickly in a sense, but also where we were, you know, even the previous week before Hypo was hired. To where we're sitting at right now with, you know, the steps Tennessee football is trying to take in the right direction compared to where last year, man, it's night and day. And another big thing too, I'm interested to see, you know, but how much Heupel does with his staff going forward, how much help that he tries to bring in. Billy Napier made his 48th hire today. Yes, 48th hire to his staff.
A minute. You're not kidding?
No, I promise you, 48. There's 48 coaches / quality control / recruiting department. He's made his 48th hire today.
How many people do you think Tennessee has?
I would probably put it low 30s. Yeah.
And, yeah. I realized that more manpower is probably a good thing. You got to figure out a way to spend that money. But I like the way Heupel is approaching it. Like, you know, they had their crew in there last year, and now they're just kind of adding some guys. They brought Billy High back in, and I think there's a couple of other you follow this a lot closer than I do, Trey, the quality control and GAs and all that stuff. And they're building it out. You know, I think that Tennessee staff will expand and recruiting staff will expand. You got to have all these, you know, content producers to do the edits and everything for Instagram and Twitter and everything else. So,
I think the staff is going to look, and I think the staff is going to look different after spring. And I'm not talking about like assistant coaches. I'm talking about people that they're going to hire and continue to bring on to the program. So, you know, whether that comes from quality control, whether that comes from, you know, offensive scouts to the portal help and talking with some folks, I just feel like that's going to be jumped up a little bit over the next 3 to 4 months once everything kind of settles down.
It just seems to me he's going about it in a very calculated, methodical manner. How he's kind of.
Yeah. I mean, and you look at even like with Florida, I was, you know, doing a little digging today while I was up, you know, looking at Florida, and I just, you know, with their staff, you know, and how they're doing it, I think Josh Heupel and other staffs around the country, you know, are going to continue down that road too, and it's all about the money that the university is willing to
put in. Just give it to the kids. We're adding $15 million a year more for TV revenue. We can't just give it to the players. You got to invent new positions. We got to have a game changer coordinator. Can't just pay players. Billy Napier's got to make $5 million a year, man.
I mean, it'll be.
Can you imagine, like, if they actually just had to pay the players in football and basketball, and Nick Saban and Dabo Sweeney were just making like $300,000 or $400,000 a year?
And just having to splash out the $500,000-$600,000 for your star players,
and the locker legally. Rooms, and the locker rooms were just, you know, wooden lockers like they used to be. Wouldn't that be nice? How about this? How about we have 25 scholarships in college baseball for all teams, all Division I teams, 25 full ride college scholarships, and we have full college scholarships for the swimming and diving team. And like, you know, if you want to be altruistic about it there and not just funnel the money to the players, how about you do that? Create more scholarships, bring more people to school.
That may be the worst out of everything that in the NCAA right now is the, with all the money they've got, that baseball players can't get full scholarships to go play major college baseball and go to school.
And I mean, paying 30%. I mean, that's pretty much what the school is able to pay for a lot of these athletes, 30%, you know, and sometimes not even that. So, I mean, you have to rely on the state, your Pell grants. I think
it's payola, man. It's pay to play.
The new academic stipends will help out, you know, a little bit, I guess. I mean, an extra $5,000 to $6,000 per semester. That these kids are going to start getting now. It's interesting. The amount of money that's floated around and what some of these kids are having to pay. So, I mean, you know, but that's
it's ridiculous that Vitello can't have a big staff, but hell, you'll have, you know, Florida. How many did you say? 48 people?
48 staff members. Yeah.
And we couldn't hold on to our crazy coach from last year because there's a limit on coaches.
Which crazy staff member, buddy? You got to narrow that one down.
You're talking about Ross Kivett.
Yeah, my guy, Ross Kivett.
Oh, yeah, Ross. Okay. Yeah.
Now he's down at what, Houston or?
Yeah, he's at Houston.
I mean, damn, man.
No, it's interesting the way the landscape's changing, man. And all these NCAA rules are going to be coming out, and they're changing the constitution to it, and how things are going to, you know. And here's another thing that I was talking with somebody about today earlier. This NIL stuff, I promise you, over the next 3 to 4 months, you're going to start seeing it where universities can now be involved in some of this NIL stuff.
Did you not see the news today? It broke right as we were going off the air, Russ. The Ohio State Legislature has followed Alabama's lead. Ohio State can directly get involved with Ohio State athletes NIL.
Right, which is only going to help, you know, only going to help the players and the schools even more. They're going to have somebody that can directly overlook that and be in contact. I mean, that's the same thing that's going on with – you know, with people like, you know, states like Alabama, and like you mentioned, Ohio, it's where, you know,
have, these groups. The schools are going to hire salesmen.
Yes.
They're going to hire ad salesmen to go out there and pitch local businesses on, which is going to be really weird for local media groups, TV stations, radio stations, newspapers, whatever. But they're going to be out there pitching people, which, I mean, it's just strange. Let's get TJ in here. Speaking of NIL and NCAA rules, something that he knows as a Kentucky fan absolutely nothing about. What's up, Teej? We've had like three or four of these.
Yeah, I think it has something. I've heard it has. It works better on Apple, on iPhones. But let me ask you this real quick while we're waiting to see if he can connect in. But I wanted both y'all's opinions. Would you guys not feel more comfortable and think it would be a lot better regulated if the schools are a buffer between money people and the kids?
Yeah, well,
I don't think it'd make any difference.
Well, I mean, it's the wild, wild west right now, man.
Yeah, but and you also have to look at it too is how are the kids being taken advantage of? If they are, or the opposite way around that too, you know. So I mean, you know, what's a market value for some of these players as is too. So I mean, it just, you know, the school's going to be looking out because the schools want the best players that are available. So if there's a way to steer a donor towards a player and get them to agree to some kind of deal that they could set up and maybe some other group can't, man, that's absolutely going to happen.
I mean, hell, I guess it's the biggest scam in the history of all scams.
I mean, Kentucky's going to have to convince somebody that, yeah, it's totally worth $10 million to pay a college basketball player to endorse horse saddles.
Yeah, but what I'm saying is it's just from the NCAA. I mean, it's just they're gangsters, man. There's money that they should be paying. They should be paying for it, but they don't. They won't. That's how greedy they are. Well, they will not give up one thin fucking dime to the players.
If you look at certain things too, like today, and I don't know how this correlates, but the Vol Shop, so the on-campus store that's affiliated with the University of Tennessee, they started today selling merchandise for players that will directly go into their pockets for NIL. And that's the first time, and I don't know if that's the first time maybe, you know, they've started doing it. The first time I've seen it where, you know, UT Vol Shop is selling Hendon Hooker shirts and Cedric Tillman shirts.
It's the Spire deal.
No, well, maybe, but that's a different.
That's who told us about it.
Okay. Well, then, yeah. So, I mean, if having an on-campus affiliated outlet selling that kind of merchandise, so any person can go into the Vol Shop now and buy a Cedric Tillman shirt, and part of those, you know, that money goes towards, you know, to that player. That's just the first time I've seen it on campus with Tennessee before.
TJ, you there?
Hey, what's up, fellas?
What's up, man?
Hey, I was watching the game, but my wife came in and said, let's watch Jason Bourne. I couldn't say no to that, right?
Well, you could. I mean, it just depends on how much you like her, I guess.
Well, that's true. you know, one thing I think that people aren't thinking about with this Bruce Pearl thing is Kentucky's governor signed off on that too, that Ohio and Texas did as well. So if you're looking at it, Bruce Pearl might be thinking that he can get more NIL deals at Louisville than he can Auburn to bring in bigger and better recruits, but that's neither here nor there. Have you seen Texas's schedule coming up since you guys play them next?
No.
Good grief. They probably have the toughest 6 or 7 game stretch. They play 18 Tennessee, 23 Iowa State, I think it was like 16, I forgot who was next, but then they play Kansas and another top five team. Yeah, Baylor. Back to back to back to back to back. That, good grief. If they could win one of those, they'd be lucky.
Well, I hope they're overlooking Tennessee. We're small potatoes in that murderer's row.
I don't know. I think y'all are better than Iowa State.
Yeah, but I don't know what their view. I'm sure their fans are probably hyped up about it, Rick Barnes coming back, but I don't know if it means that much to the players and everything. It's going to be a really interesting game Saturday night for Tennessee And
Vescovi talked about it.
Yeah. What did he say?
No, he just said, you know, they excuse me, they asked him, you know, about, you know, Barnes going back, and he goes, yeah, they'll probably, and I'm paraphrasing, but he did say this part, yeah, you know, they'll probably play a video for him on the board, you know, before the game, but then it's all business, you know. So, I mean, I think the players understand it, but even Barnes said, man, it's been 7 years. You know, so I don't think it'll be a big deal towards the players. You know, maybe they want to get Victor involved a little bit more. I don't know, but you know, just it sounds like the players just don't care. They're ready to go in and just play a game.
So, go ahead, Bear. I'm sorry.
Well, apparently, boys, Mike Wilson just dropped an article in the News Sentinel that a Florida player made a joke about Zakai Ziegler's being short during the post-game handshake line. That's what triggered a slight brouhaha ensued in front of the scorer's table.
Okay. Scoreboard. I mean, speaking of short, Florida was about 7 points short tonight.
Hey, I get a...
I love the fact that dude's short. I mean, like, have you ever heard of Muggsy Bogues or Spud Webb? I mean, like, where does it say that you have to be 6 feet tall to play college basketball? I mean, we don't win tonight without Zakai Ziegler. He got in there when Tennessee was on the ropes and single-handedly just about brought us back.
I mean, J.J. McCleskey, we've had guys that played here like this,
the short kid had Steve six Smith. Rebounds on you. What does that say about
you posted Mighty up your Florida best?
That Zakai Ziegler went up there and grabbed six rebounds tonight.
Posted up your best big. Here's the next part of it. Forward Euros Plosvic started yelling towards the Florida players gathered on the court. It was Coach Clark that ushered Ziegler away from the situation. Then something apparently set off Gators guard Tyree Appleby.
That was Olivier, I'm pretty sure.
He made a mad dash towards the bench area, Tennessee bench area. Guard Justin Powell kept Plosvic away from the conflict while Barnes sternly spoke to Plosvic. I love reading shit like this. Man, fuck Florida. Oh. Fuck them. They broke our boy's face last year. Did they not?
It was interesting to see Barnes talk about, you know, how they wanted to be a classy program. You know, he talked a lot. He said that a bunch in his post-game press conference. You know, but if you go back and look at it too, Barnes' assistant, and I forgot her name. I think it's Mary, if I'm not mistaken.
Yeah, Mary Carter Berger.
Yeah, she's the one that... What? She's the one that shoved Olivier and told him, you know, pretty much get your ass in the locker room during all that stuff. So, I mean, you know, hey, it is what it is, man. You know, when you get owned like that, like Florida, and they give up a lead like that, they're probably going to talk a lot of mess. And Tennessee backed it up tonight, and they played good in the second half and took care of them. I don't know. It's an interesting dynamic you look at with Tennessee basketball, man. Like in the past, they've just gone out and handled business. But this year, they got a lot of shit talkers on the team. They seem to be backing it up.
Yeah, they aren't going to let anybody thug them. Can't go up and intimidate these guys. I mean, what the fuck are you going to say to, you know, the three amigos, Vescovi, Ziegler, and Plosvic? And apparently Cam Waz kind of a hothead as well. I mean, these are tougher kids. We talked about it earlier.
Up on the post and not just running their mouth, though.
Was it the Alabama game last year where Alabama kind of intimidated us before the game?
Yes.
And when I started hearing about that stuff, we started talking about that. Can't let that happen.
Hey, I know y'all want to go to sleep. I know 4 a.m. comes early for me, but I got two things real quick. What do you guys think? You have all these regular season tournaments in basketball. What do you think about a Kentucky, Louisville, Tennessee, Memphis mid-season tournament. I know that'll probably never happen, but Bear, I know you, that you said the other day you would love to see Tennessee and Memphis play every year. But what if we had a tournament like that to where Memphis and Tennessee plays, Kentucky, Louisville plays, and the winners play each other and the losers play each other? Would y'all like that?
Sounds pretty cool.
I can
like alternate it rotates between the four schools.
Yeah.
I don't want a neutral site. It needs to be in Knoxville, Memphis, Louisville, and Lexington.
I guess the only thing that's weird about it is, like, what if Tennessee and Kentucky match up? It's kind of weird playing conference teams out of conference, you know?
I mean, not really, because if you think about it, wasn't it – I think it was like actually, it was longer than that. Jesus, 2012.
Yeah.
Kentucky played Louisville in, like, what, the Final Four? So, I mean, it happens.
TJ, I'm interested for all I'll go off here in a minute. What is the talk around Kentucky about Mac today and how that stuff just – what's the local news like talking about Chris Mack?
Yeah, so it's kind of crazy, actually. Chris Mack is not liked. I know that Tennessee is, you know, close to Kentucky, but not as close as Kentucky is. But obviously, duh, I've had too much Jim Beam. But anyways – the players, I don't know if you saw the post-game conference the other night after the loss to Virginia, I think it was, but one of the players was asked how the players react to Chris Mack, and one of the players actually just straight out came out and said, I have no comment for that. So the players were actually, if you watch the game Louisville and Virginia, the players weren't listening to Coach Mack. They weren't responding to him when they would huddle up. They just were looking into the stands. Go ahead. I'm sorry.
No, I'm also interested in how the hell, and I've been kind of out of it today, so I'm interested in this part. How the hell does Chris Mack only get $4.8 million out of a $12 million buyout? What does Louisville have on Mack for that?
Yeah, so I know Matt Jones is a touchy name on this show, but here's how I see it. With the Chris Gaudio thing and the FBI probe and all that, what he said is he thinks Louisville went to Chris Mack and said, hey, look, if the NCAA looks into this and we can fire you for cause, you get nothing. Your buyout's $12 million. We'll give you this number, so you're playing with house money. You can either take this, or the NCAA comes in and you get nothing. Which one do you want?
Jesus.
Yeah.
That's what Pruitt was wanting, guys.
Pruitt wasn't getting shit.
Well, I know, but that's what Pruitt was wanting.
I know. Yeah, towards the end, that's what he wanted. But that road had already,
Hey, and real quick, Bear, this one's for you. I know you hate being awkward and stuff. I'm going to make you awkward for a minute. In my line of work, I've seen some crazy stuff downrange, but I'm going to break that open a little bit and be a teddy bear. But you talked about 1 year with your diagnosis, but from a Kentucky fan, genuine hearted, I'm glad you're still around, brother.
I appreciate that, man.
Absolutely.
I do. I mean, I enjoy you calling. I feel bad for you. You've got, as a Kentucky fan, you got shitty talk radio.
No. As a Kentucky fan, I live literally in the worst part of America I could live in between North Carolina and Duke.
Oh, you're over there. Yeah. No, I really appreciate that, buddy.
Yeah, man.
It's all good fun.
Oh, of course, man. Friendly banner. I love it. Hey, y'all have a good night, good win tonight, and good luck against Texas.
Thank you, TJ. All right, boys, it's been real.
Yeah, Easton got hurt bad.
LSU might lose four straight.
This game is, I won't say unwatchable. It's a defensive struggle.
If Easton's done, they're pretty much donezo, aren't they?
Yeah, they would be done. All right, boys, I'm gonna go back to my vid. So,
all right,
good. Have a good night.
Well, too, another Trey. One of the books, my man.
Another stellar edition in this, the books.
This dork's got his polo shirt buttoned all the way to the top.
I mean, what a bad body.
I would really love to run into him somewhere with you and just watch you just publicly humiliate him.
I mean, as a fellow fat and skinny at the same time guy,
you carry it a lot better than he does.
I hold it in.
Yeah, you don't have that soft, softest fucking pudding chin that guy's got. Pudding chin. I like to just pop him one.
Pudding time.
But like A&M's coach is a dandy. You were talking earlier. He's in a damn vest with a tie.
Yeah. Buzz Williams, he rocks that vest. You know his assistant coaches hate that because everybody else
has to dress COVID up.
Stopped wearing suits, and he makes them all dress shoes. Dress shoes are the worst, man.
They hurt your feet so bad.
That's the worst.
You'll see a lot of these guys that wear they're sharp. They're like the $300 Nikes with their suits.
Yeah. Yeah. You got some nice new sneakers that you can wear with suits and stuff.
Yeah. So, but, I'm leaving with, tonight with a good feeling, man. If I can beat Florida, punked him, shit talked him on the way out the door.
A peaceful, easy feeling.
Oh, this is great, man. Got a nice warm fuzzy. I love beating Florida in anything, dude. They suck.
It's nice to really own them in basketball. I think 7 in a row in Knoxville, like 7 out of 8 of the past 8 or something. I mean, just
really. Because they act like they don't care, but they care.
They don't deserve all the success they've had.
Hell no.
Well, they made 4 Final Fours in the last 30 years, 2 national championships.
Back to back, man. They dominated. That 2-year run he had.
And Tennessee went 3-1 against him in those 2 years.
Yeah, I mean.
And the one they lost was because Chris Lofton missed the game down there that second year with an ankle injury.
Yeah. Just dominated him. And I remember when me and you first, you know, when you probably first started watching it, and when I was in high school and starting UT, I mean, we didn't have much success against them.
No. I remember the year the SEC tournament was at Thompson Bowling, 1989.
You had tickets for it, didn't you?
Yeah, it was great, man. They put us out on our home floor.
Yeah.
Put us out. I think Alabama beat Vandy in the championship.
Did you keep going to the games?
Yeah. Yeah.
I wonder if that was the genesis of this nightmarish deal you have about the SEC tournament.
Probably. What? No, I mean, how was I know what was to come? I mean, we had won the tournament at that point, 10 years prior?
Yeah. It was starting to feel like a memory.
So it wasn't this huge bugaboo that it's become.
Yeah, I mean, I was the last time we won it, I was about the same age as you were when you were watching that one.
It would be so great.
I
love having it in Nashville, at Bridgestone. I think it's actually in Tampa this year, but I would love to have them.
It ought to be on campuses.
That tournament. I love it in Nashville, man. I mean, I think that's a great venue for it. And obviously it's good for us, but I would just love to win it 1 year so that I can stop dreading it as an event. I hate the SEC tournament. It's stupid. We're not going to win. We're not going to win it this year. We're not going to win it next year. We're never going to win it.
No, I don't even really. That's why I almost wish, you know, we get busted out of it and save our legs for the NCAA anymore. I absolutely loathe it. And I was in the stands, when we won it at Stokely.
I hate the SEC tournament. All right, I don't want to end on a negative. What a great win for Tennessee. What a performance by Santi Vescovi. Solid effort by Chandler. Good to see Folky getting out there and doing his things. Akai Ziegler, instant energy off the bench tonight. Josiah Jordan James, played all right. Still would like to see a little bit more out of him. Would like to see a little bit more out of Kamwa, but that's okay.
Anytime a little bit more out of Powell.
A league game over a hated conference rival by 7 points, and you can still walk it out of there saying, man, we got so much room for improvement. That is a good thing. So on to Texas, watch party at walk-ons. Hope to see you guys there. Come up and say hi, man. We had a lot of fun we had a lot of fun before the Kentucky game, and maybe for the first 10 minutes was pretty good. And after that, it was just kind of socializing, but hopefully
the evening watch parties usually are lit.
Yeah. Hopefully we can lean into this one Saturday night and get a little loose, if you know what I mean. Enjoy each other's company, celebrate Tennessee basketball, and keep this roll going, man. Four in a row Saturday night.
Take it game by game, Russ.
Take it to the limit. I'm going to roll with the quotations tonight.
You are. You missed what I said earlier. I was a little disappointed.
What?
I can't remember what it was. I'll go back and listen. It was an obscure one that only you'd get. But anyhow, but I will talk to you tomorrow.
We'll do it 3 to 6 on Fan Run Radio. Until then, Russ LeBaire signing off. Thanks for jumping in.